Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated August 21st, 2015. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teakle and is a joint podcast project ran, created by Lord Baldrith and Asleepius. The background music is by Stephen J. Golden. And today we have a special guest, Coeur d'Alene. Hey, how's it going, Coeur d'Alene?
Doing very well, always happy and very honored to be here again on Echoes from the Cavern. Thank you both for having me.
Thanks for coming and joining us. Always good to talk to you. And how's it going, Asleepius?
I'm going real well, thanks, Lord Baldrith, and welcome along again, Coeur d'Alene. Wonderful to have you. It's been a great week and had a great time in the game this week.
Excellent release, isn't it?
Ah, it's beautiful. The more I see it, the more I like it. And the more I like it, the more I want to play it. And the more I play it, the more addictive it gets.
Who needs and it's very difficult because it's a very addictive game to begin with. And I couldn't more wholeheartedly agree that this release has been absolutely fantastic and spectacular.
I know. And I'm just getting to the stage that they hold out goodies all the time. I'm just getting to the stage in crafting when I'm starting to get critical events happening, and that's exciting when that happens. And when you're making a suit of leather armor and you throw in your 5 yards of leather and all the other goodies, I say, yeah, that did good, but you know, if you've got another 5 yards, you could make it better. And I thought to myself, ha ha, you didn't think I had 5 yards spare, did you? But I do. So it's lovely making really good quality armor, and it's such fun.
Hey, Sleepius, what level are you at when you start criticaling? Because I've never criticaled anything in my life. I'm just curious.
Okay, I think it started around 33, 34.
I see.
And I've just hit 36.
Oh, man, you're a master.
No, I just fiddle a lot. Actually, I did a lot of it. I spent a number of hours in the Exeter mines because every time you turn around, there's another gold vein. And if you've got the experienced doubler happening, well, it's 400 a time. And so
user in your channel timed out.
You just walk out of there with bundles of crafting experience. And I got to the stage, I thought, well, there's no use for gold in the game so far, and I don't know what to do with it, so I'll just drop it or destroy it and keep on mining. And I walked out of there with so much experience.
Wow. I was mining myself in Owl's Nest, I think they call it, and getting 400 for each there, but I didn't think there was all that
user
many.
User has moved to your channel.
Yeah, so you're mining where?
I was mining an Owl's Nest, I think it is, over right now. Oh, right there.
Yes. Yeah, there's a number of nodes there, but there's not as many. But at least it's stuff that you can use.
It's copper, iron and copper. It's kind of a nice mixture there, so it was good.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Gentlemen, I apologize. I don't know why I got kicked off for a brief moment. Thank you.
That's fine, no problem at all. It happens to me more or less regularly. It is so frustrating.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I'm going to blame it on Asclepius. This is all your fault, Asclepius.
I thought it was Asclepius, but then he was still talking. Like, oh, wow.
Yeah, thanks for that. Okay, all right, I'll wear that one. Okay, well, yeah, we have a news release. Huzzah, number 139, we have Dragons, Work in Progress, R21 Dev Plus, QA, Trolls Invade...
Wait, Asclepius.
Yes.
One second.
Yes.
You went too quickly over that. We have Dragons.
That's so exciting.
We have Dragons, my friends.
Big.
I mean, huzzah,
scary things.
I'm excited over this setup.
Oh, I know. It is wonderful. Okay, all right. Well, skimming through the headlines, we will come to the first and maybe most important item in the news. very large creatures, dragons, work in progress.
Yay!
And we have pictures which are rather glorious. Jeff Mellon, the character artist, and Jeff Kevin Wells, the character artist, and Bren Wilson, animator, are working on our next very large creature, which is dragons. And just check out these images. Okay, and they look appropriately scary and ferocious and awesome. And I love the next shot. A scale model of a dragon next to a human. I for one don't want to go up against one of those.
Oh no, I'm desperate, Asclepius. Even though I know I'm gonna die, I just want to see it. I mean, you're right. The second image is the one that's the most evocative and powerful. It really puts in perspective just how tiny our avatars are gonna be facing this behemoth of a creature. And I am excited to see it in all its glory.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. I think we're going to have to be at least level 60 or 70 and about 8 or 12 of us to face off against one of those. That is just unbelievable.
And how do you fight something that's flying above you?
Oh, yeah. Well, it will have to be magic, I guess.
So a sword, the sword people are in trouble?
Yes. Lord Baldriff, can you come and help?
It'll be all me. I have to use my ice, so he's probably a fire dragon, right?
Well, yeah, he probably would be.
To be honest, man, I mean, I'm not so sure Asclepius needs our help. As he was telling us earlier, he is capable of taking on a troll all by himself. So, you know, you're probably killing his dragon as well.
Yes.
Dragon, well, nothing.
I should clarify that for the benefit of our six faithful listeners. Coeur d'Alene and I had a wonderful time the other day in Virtus Pass. He said he'd love to see this troll, so we went off, we found it, and I kid you not, it is huge. It is absolutely huge. And there were about eight of us there, and we bashed away at this, and if the troll steps on you, he does serious damage, and I died once, and that's fine. There's an ankh just up the hill, so that's good. Run back down again. We eventually finished him off, whereupon he proceeded to fall on us. And I tell you what, if a troll falls on you, you are dead, without any argument.
Killing everyone.
Oh, he did. So that was fun. And unfortunately, I had to go to do a bit of work. I came back an hour or so later and logged on again. Well, everybody had gone off somewhere else by then. There was just me and the troll. And I thought, okay, I'll have a bit of fun here. I'll see how long I last. And I've got a bit of magic. I use fire and death and healing spells up the wazoo to keep myself alive, as well as sword. And I've developed this technique where I charge in like a demented Braveheart, screaming away. We need sound in the game. Screaming away. Activate the whirling blades. So take out a bit of damage on the way through, and hopefully before they notice you're there, you're out the other side. And this is cool. So I was hitting this thing with fiery decay and fire arrows and racing in, slash, slash, race out again. It took me 20 minutes, and I took him down. And not only that, but he didn't fall on me.
That's awesome.
And that was wonderful. But, yeah. And for about a day and a half, I did it. And I got 10,000 experience for it.
How much gold was he carrying?
Nothing.
Zero?
Zero. I clicked on him and I didn't get anything. And I felt really gypped. But the glory is more important. But I felt, for a day and a half, I felt really good. And then I was talking to Sophie and Wombi this morning, who said, "No, yeah, that's lovely, but the Uber troll is down at the bottom of the Hidden Vale, just off the coast from Ravensmoor Dungeon. He's the one that very few people can touch." I thought, okay, all right, fine.
So I have a retort to that, Asclepius, and my retort is this.
Yes.
The three of us taking on that troll and showing Sophie and Wambi that, you see, we've killed that other one, and now the three of us have killed this one. So they...
Okay. All right, you're on. It's a date.
And then we can brag about that next week, right?
We can. We can.
Either that or say, oops, we failed.
But we probably should leave a little note before we go containing our last will and testament.
Yeah,
good idea. Well, depending upon when we do it, I mean, dragons might be in the game at that point. It's a moot point because we're going to have to clearly go after the dragon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yes.
But are we starting our skills again, or how does that work?
Oh, yes, we are. Well, we sort of are, yes. That sort of comes in a little bit later, and it's a bit confusing, but I think we'll work it out.
Well, maybe we'll be more powerful with the new system. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah, don't know. It's good. Yeah. Honestly, just when you get used to something, they throw something else at you.
Hey, they want to keep it fun.
They
I know,
do.
But LB and I were chatting about this earlier, Asclepius, and this morning, before I had to head into the station, I'm a firefighter, as you guys know. Doc Holliday and I were chatting about the skill system and how it's going to all, you know, play out. And, you know, he was saying that, you know, with this upcoming system that, at least from what he explained to me, it's only going to be wiping the crafting side, not necessarily the combat side. Is that not the case?
Okay, I don't know about that.
I think Chris said it's all the points you've earned thus far going into some kind of pool, which is going to make it so you can allocate the points or something. But I'm not sure how it works enough to even know.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll try to muddle through it because that's an item coming up a little bit later.
Maybe they'll talk about it here on the news.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. But I've got a bit of an idea, but I'm not at all authoritative. So it's speculation until we see it.
So then let's continue on, shall we?
Well, why not? Okay. So, after we've faced off the dragons, and assuming we survive... Okay, next item is early dev plus release 21 testing. And that's going to be exciting. So they've got a new build-up on the QA server for early testing of all the R21 features. And they said, as usual, it's still incomplete and likely very buggy, but it's a big help to us all if you all can test it out and help identify major issues. So if you don't mind sorting through a lot of bugs and issues and stuff, they would love your help and as many people as possible to test it out, put it through its paces, find out what works and what doesn't. So, look, brilliant. If you want an early preview of what's happening on Release 21, it is there and it is waiting for you.
You know, I haven't done much of the dev stuff. I did it briefly during Release 17, but and I haven't actually really logged in because I'm on Steam and you have to download it every time to get onto it, so I can't really say that I'm very knowledgeable on much of that.
So you have to re-download it every time you do QA?
Every time, LB. Every time.
That's
yeah, I am much the same. I did try it once or twice. The way I did it, I play through Steam. But if you want to, you can play the QA version through the launcher as you did before Steam came along. So I thought, well, just so that my brain can work out the difference in what I'm doing, I played the QA version through the launcher, just directly off the website. And yeah, that was fine. And it is a bit of a download. And I have to confess, I am probably not the quality tester and the bug hunter that people like ThemoLock and some of the others are. I rush around, oh yeah, I enjoy the game, that's great, yeah, good. I get a warm, fuzzy glow if I find one bug and can submit it. So I haven't done much of it, to be honest.
The thing that holds me back from doing it a lot is I just kind of want to be surprised when the release comes out rather than already see some of the secrets, you know?
Yeah, sure. That's fair, too. Okay, but anyway, there it is. So for anybody who has the time, the ability, and the interest, they would love the support and the QA and the quality assurance, that sort of stuff. Okay, the next item, trolls invading the BMC Speaker of the House debates. And that looks like a bit of fun. They held a debate last Saturday for candidates running for the BMC Guild Office of Speaker of the House. And the event was streamed live by New Britannia News Network. Seems that a group of trolls wanted to listen to the debate, but met with some resistance by other attendees. Yeah, and that looks like an epic battle developing.
I wonder how many trolls were there.
Very, very well.
Yeah. Wow. And yeah, those trolls are pretty big. I'll give you the tip. They are huge.
Do all the trolls look a little different? I just noticing they're wearing different clothes in that one.
Good question. Yeah, he's wearing... Well, he's not wearing much at all. I noticed, well, my observation of the troll in Virtus Pass, he seemed to have two basic moves. He'd smack his hands together, so if your head was in the way at the time, that really hurts, and he stamps. And if you're underneath his foot when he stamps, that really, really hurts.
So does it knock you out and stuff, or stun you?
It can. So when we were fighting him, LB... I got hit by one of those stomps, and it stunned me, and it took me down. So I have 300 health, and it took me down by about 120. I mean, it was a pretty solid, you know, stomp.
Oh, man, so you had to just run out and heal, huh?
No, I pretty much just stood there and died.
Oh, yeah.
Spoken like a true hero.
But thankfully, as Asclepius can contest, or rather attest, we were joined by a group of fellow adventurers and avatars who helped us kind of stick around and slay him again, yet to kill him and then have him fall down and squash us like bugs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was just weird.
So he really does fall down and do damage.
Oh, yes. I took about 250 damage from fallen troll.
Well, that's horrible. That would kill me.
Yeah, it killed all of us.
So just as you thought you've won, he drops on you.
Yeah,
exactly.
And my ghost was floating around, and I'm thinking, well, what happened? You know, did we get him? And they said, oh, yeah, we did, but he got us.
Wow, that's pretty sneaky there.
Yeah.
It's a win-lose situation, LB.
Yes, so just make sure that when you put in your last hit and you finally get him down to zero, that don't be behind him when he falls down.
Run away.
Do you know which way he's going to fall, or it varies?
It probably varies. Yeah, just run. Run very fast.
I don't think it really matters. It's probably just a complete 360 circle template, so as soon as he dies, anyone that's in that template just gets hit with 300... you know, whatever damage.
That'd probably be right.
So poor Malay people that are stuck right next to him hitting him are going to be out of luck.
Yes, unless you are doing my trick. You just rush in, hit, and rush out again really fast.
So when he's really close to death, you might want to, like, do some range damage or something?
Oh, that'd be good, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, bit of magic from a distance when his health is near zero, and you'll be fairly safe.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So, LB, I have an idea. I think we should name, or at least dub for this podcast, Asclepius. Asclepius the Troll Killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, everybody needs 15 seconds of fame.
You earned it.
Well, or 20 minutes, you know? I mean, that's how long it took you to kill him, right?
Well, yes, yes. But look, I will take the true mantle if and when I ever make any impression on that big Uber troll. I mean, that guy is serious.
You have a Lord British special sword. Are you kidding me?
I do.
You deserve all the accolades that you get, my friend.
The accolade for that one goes to Lord British himself. He's such an awesome person. Just for interacting with the community like that. And that is just brilliant.
He is. And if I can just do a little segue here and tell you guys a funny little anecdotal story. As you guys know, my girlfriend finally started playing Shroud of the Avatar. Very excited about that. And we both just got back from 2 weeks in Europe, in Italy specifically. And we were playing the other day while Lord British, a.k.a., or I should say Richard Garriott, a.k.a. Lord British, was doing his NBNN interview with Lazarus in Owl's Head. So I'm there with a bunch of folks watching the whole thing and listening to it on Twitch. And my girlfriend's creating her character. And she, you know, it's getting towards the end of the interview. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I submitted my question. Laz asked my question, which was all about in-game gambling, because I'm all about, you know, trying to create Coeur d'Alene's Cafe, a little playoff of Rick's Cafe from, you know, one of my favorite movies, Casablanca. And I go to help my girlfriend create, you know, her character. And for the 15 minutes I was AFK, I come back. And Lord British had waved at me and bowed at me multiple times, like trying to, you know, contact me. And I was just not there to respond. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I missed all this. This is terrible. So I went to the forums and I emailed him and I just said, oh, you know, my Lord British, I apologize. You know, I was helping my girlfriend create her new character, blah, blah, blah. An hour later, he responded back. And as I was telling LB, I mean, in what other game would the head of an entire company that's creating a game that we love take the time out of his day to respond to, you know, a player's email? I mean, it's very rare, and it's such a special, wonderful moment that, you know, it's one of the reasons why I love this game as much as I do.
Yeah, totally agree.
That is just awesome.
Absolutely brilliant, and what a genuine, sincere, and warm person taking an interest in us players to the extent that he does.
Yeah, you can tell he's really involved in the community. And just, he loves us, you know?
He does, LB, and, you know, and that means a lot because, you know, a lot of these games, you know, you see them, and, you know, LB, we were talking about this earlier. You know, you have such high hopes for them, and then they come out and they're just, you know, they're such crap. Every release, and especially this one, as we've all said, has just been, you know, absolutely outstanding. I mean, this release to me, guys, has really reinvigorated my interest and love for this game, because it just shows how much effort and work the developers, you know, really took to listen to what we were saying. You know, except for those PvP crazies. You know, I mean, no offense to them. I mean, they have their own thing. But, like, they listened to what we were saying. And they've implemented so many wonderful and great changes. And it's just it's great to be a part of that. It's wonderful. So I'm very thankful to, you know, be able to be on this podcast with you guys and to be a part of this game.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't agree more. They are really listening. And to a large extent, the community is building the game as much as the developers. As Richard himself said, we will keep on listening and we will put anything and everything into the game that you want, if we can. I thought, wow, you know, that just blows you away.
Yeah, I've been so involved in this release that I actually took my first day off of work because I'm just having so much fun. To me, it's the best release I've been in. It's addictive. You can't get out. It's great.
I know. And you think, look, I just want to get to that point. I just want to be able to do this. I just want to be able to do that. Yeah, that's about 3 or 4 hours' work. But that's okay. That doesn't matter.
That's right. But, and next thing you know, 3 in the morning.
Exactly. I mean, LB, I mean, last time you and I were hanging out, I mean, I bought a village lot, I bought a Viking hut, moved into Wizard's Rest, completely decorated the entire place, and was up until 5 in the morning Eastern Standard Time.
That was the most awesome time I've had in game. Watching you do that and then hanging out and killing all these great creatures and dying and having fun, it was great.
Oh. Hey, look, Coeur d'Alene, can I pay you to decorate my place?
It's actually my favorite thing to do. If only I had the resources and the crafting knowledge to do it right, I would. I mean, I love doing that. So yes, the short answer is yes. If you can supply me with the resources and the items to do it, I'd be happy to do it.
Wow. Gee, I was half joking. Okay. Well, you never know.
Yeah, take a look at his house. It's awesome.
So, LB, my question to you, my friend, is have you been into my place in Wizard's Rest and read the note on my bookshelf? There's a little shout-out to you in there, my friend.
Oh, I know. You want me to trim my trees, and I was thinking, you know what? Maybe I should take them down.
Oh, you read it. That makes me so happy. You read it. I love it.
Of course I read it. I was like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. I didn't respond, though. I should have put another note to you, but I forgot.
Don't you love the notes?
I love the notes.
So I'm gonna add you guys as trustees to my house, so you guys can just drop notes appropriately. I mean, it's got to be tasteful. I don't want trash. I don't want clutter and trash in my beautiful house. But if you put it on my table or on the bookshelf, perfect. Because I want you guys to be able to leave little pieces of mail and responses when you're in game and just want to tease me about something. I would love.
Hey, that's
beautiful. Okay, I'll do that. Yeah, excellent. And same for you and my place. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, I'll open my place up too.
Right.
And there's plenty of notepaper in the drawers there.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, and moving along, once they got rid of those trolls, they had the proper debate. And the long bit without the trolls, but with rabbits and turkeys, as broadcast by NBNN. So there you go. Anybody who's interested in watching the BMC debate about a Speaker of the House, a couple of really interesting videos there. And now we get to the nitty-gritty stuff. This is where your brain starts to implode, and it's all going to be super weird, but a big post by Chris about Use-Based Systems Part 2. So this is the second half of his War of Text, and he's calling it a hybrid use-based system. So in a pure system, you just use a skill and it advances it, and that's it. You know, you can become masters through a repetitive method, which could be macroable. So you just write a little macro and you do it your avatar does it for 24 hours while you're asleep. But they don't want that. They want to limit that kind of artificial behavior. So what they've got players learning experience through in-game actions. Okay, those experience go into a pool of to-be-spent experience. So that goes into a pool. Now, when you use a skill, that will spend points out of that pool on the skill to level it up. Okay, so you've got money in the bank, so to speak. And when you use a skill, some of that money trickles through to the skill and it makes it better. Well, that sort of makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And how many points spent on each skill depends on the current level of the skill, how big your experience pool is, whether the skill use was successful or not, and a few other secret things. Right. Okay, so the amount would be a certain percentage of the pool. So if you've got a big pool of experience, that's going to make it go faster, right? Yeah, okay, fair enough. And the amount applied per use will be capped. Requires a minimum number of uses to advance. Gotcha. So, the minimum number of uses starts at around 5 for most skills. So if you use your skill 5 times, you'll get a little bit of trickle in from your bank, from the skill bank.
So this is actually a great way to do this, because it actually prevents a lot of the macroing that you would see back in the UO days, Ultima Online days, where, you know, you could literally, you know, LB and I were joking before, you know, put a weight on your macro button on your keyboard and just leave it overnight and max out your skill.
Yeah. That's right. And exactly. And they're saying up to the highest levels of the skill, you have to use it 100 times before you get any trickle down from your pool. So, yeah, it gets harder.
So they're not saying how much it's going to raise. Is it going to raise 0.1 or is it going to raise 1? Or what's the deal with that?
I think I remember, don't lawyer me, but from last week's post, I think each skill goes from 1 to 100 in whatever ability. Probably like the old UO days. So you start off
at
0 or 1, whatever. You could theoretically get to 100. You could theoretically get beyond 100.
Well, UO was 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, 0.4. It was really slow, so I was just curious if we're going to do it that slow.
Right, okay. The way it's reading here, if you use your skill 5 times and you're at a low level, okay, you get some points from your experience pouring into that skill, and it's going to get better. By the time you're up to level 80, you're going to have to use it quite a lot to get more experience pouring into it. Okay, that makes sense. And each skill tracks its own experience, levels up, similar to how they level up currently, ta-da-ta-da-ta-da. Right. So, now, players will see tons of incremental progress. If you choose to only work on a couple of skills, you'll go much faster because you're pouring all of those experience points into those two skills. Right.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Skills have a difficulty value that they're not going to show us. It's how many times more costly a skill is to level. Some things have very limited opportunity for use, like taming, they might level more easily. Others that are really powerful will level more slowly, like raising stats. If you're trying to get up your strength, dexterity, and intelligence, that'll be about 5 to 10 times as hard as an average skill. But they will go up.
I know you played UO. Asclepius, did you play Ultima Online back when it first got started?
No, I didn't. When Shroud came along, I thought, oh my god, I have never played an online game in my life. I don't know how to do this. I opened up an account, and so I have played Ultima Online for maybe 6 months a year. So I'm basically familiar.
Oh wow. So you play it now. How interesting. So
yeah.
I don't know how well, it is now, but when I started in 1997, gosh, when I was back a freshman in college, that's how long ago it was, gentlemen. You could literally, you know, sit in, well, what I did was I stood in Britain where I was safe and I knew I wasn't going to get, you know, ganked and killed. I would weigh down my, you know, whatever button I assigned to mine. And I would mine, I would max out my mining skill while I was sleeping. And then, you know, let's just say for every 5-10 points, I'm making this up, obviously, but for every 5-10 points I got in mining, you know, I got maybe 1, maybe 2 points to my strength, which makes sense, right? Because if you're mining...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you're going to build muscle, right? So, I mean, I thought that was a pretty real cool way to implement, you know, leveling of strength outside of, oh, you just got 1,000 experience points. Welcome to level 2. Raise 1 ability attribute of your choice. It's just, in my opinion, it's more realistic and more fun and cool.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
Well, it depends. To me, like actually performing a skill that requires your character to do what he's trying to raise makes more sense. Like if you're going to mine, when you mine, mining goes up, not, you know, a point you can put in forestry or something.
Yeah. And the way they're seeming to run this seems to make sense. Because when you're running around in the game, as currently, you're getting experience points and they go in the bank. And then if you go and do some questing, killing monsters, whatever, building up your melee or archery or magic skills, all of those are the skills that you're using. So you've got some points in the bank, they will automatically be distributed to those skills.
So doing quests and stuff probably going to add to your bank of skills that'll be able to raise, right?
Probably yes, yeah.
Yeah, but it just depends on what skills you're probably using during those quests, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And if you run out of your bank of points, then obviously you got to accumulate more bank before anything will raise, that type of thing?
That would be right. It's like exactly. Now, when you go and do some harvesting, you build up crafting points. When you go and kill a few monsters, you build up adventuring points. Yeah, same as before, but they're distributed a different way.
Based on what you're actually doing rather than what you decide to choose.
Yes, that's right. Yes, based on what you're actually doing. And that's really good, I think.
It is. It's very immersive. I like that.
Yeah.
Me too. Okay.
Yeah. And, oh, interesting. Now for the part that, pardon me, players will hate, but key for the long-term survival of a game, it allows us to have really fast, non-grindy progression, and that is skill decay. So, it's not only more realistic, it allows us not to have hard skill caps. So you're not going to hit a ceiling at 100. You can level up faster, but you still keep some control. So what happens is, if you don't use a skill for a while, you will lose some skill. You will lose some. It'll decay a little bit. Now, it's based on real time, whether you're in the game or not. So, and the decay is only accumulated for around about 2 days maximum loss. And this all gets pretty complicated. And this is where your mind explodes. But if you're just logging in for some role-playing, saying hi to friends, you don't suffer any loss. You're still using, you know, you using enough so that you don't decay. If you're in the military, you're off for 2 months. You only come back to about 2 days of decay, so it's not very much. That's the good news.
So it sounds, now this is sounding good to me. It sounds like even if you don't do anything but you log in, you don't get decay.
That sounds about right, yeah. And worst case scenario, it won't share exact numbers, probably because we couldn't understand it, I wouldn't. But a real world situation, okay. You've got a player who's got 20 skills up to level 80. Then they get a job and at the same time have a baby. Well, they log in every year, for every day for a year straight, and die every day without earning any experience, okay? Because they know, yeah, they got a kid, they got so much demands on their time, they just don't have time to do anything. Okay, 365 days in a row of 1 day's worth of accumulated experience loss. So at the end of a year, their skills have dropped from 80 to 72. That's not too horrible.
And in the reality of things, let's be honest, if that was in real life and we actually were specialized in, I don't know, let's just say Krav Maga, you know, I mean, if you're not practicing for that amount of time, you're going to lose that martial skill, right? So this is...
Yeah, that's right, that's right. And as he's trying to say here, once you get to, you know, probably level 60, 70, whatever, you're close to being a master at that skill. You're really good. It's only the OCD people or who really want to hang out a flag saying, I'm a grandmaster at this, who want to kind of going to want to push to that 100 level. And there's some glory in it. There's some prestige and some cred in it. If you want to take your weapons and armor to the best blacksmith in the country, then, okay, look for the guy who's pushed all the way to 100. But that takes serious, serious work. It's so difficult to get from 80 to 100. So they are trying to make it. It's not that difficult to get to decent survivable levels. If you're insane enough and you want to get to 100, fine, but you won't be able to do it for that many skills, and it's going to be very difficult to sustain it. So there's no real need to put a hard cap on.
Thema lock. Thema, I'm sorry. I just had to clear my throat. Thema. <Sorry. laughs> He'll get there. I don't care what anybody says. He will make it and he will get
it. I think we should all drink a toast to Thema. Here's to Thema.
Hopefully they don't base the system on his progress, otherwise we're all doomed.
Oh, that's for sure. Okay. So there we are.
Hold on a second. Before we continue on, I would like to ask both
yes.
of you guys, Asclepius LB, what are your thoughts on this system? I personally am very excited about this, but I think it's a new perspective and a kind of newer take on a, you know, UO type system. But I'd like to kind of, you know, ask you guys what you think.
Sure. I think it's a great system. Just reading it through as I have now, reading it through for the third time, I think I understand it better. And yeah, I like it. I think it's an ideal compromise, probably the best they can possibly do, between use-based and, you know, building up a skill that you are actually using and avoiding the macroing nonsense that you've been talking about and that so many people would do. I think it's going to be wonderful, and I'm really in favor of it.
I completely love a lot of aspects of it. The only thing that really bothers me is the decay, because I am a kind of person who likes to play alts. And if I've got alt characters that all have skills in crafting or whatever, are they all going to get decayed every time I don't play them every day? Or that's the things I'm curious about.
Sure. My understanding, which is not authoritative, but I think if you left them for a week, you wouldn't notice any significant decay. You just wake them up every few days or every week, get them out, do a bit of experience. They should maintain their level.
Yeah, that's what I can't wait to test. I want to see how that works out.
Yeah, that'll be great. Fantastic.
But we won't have our alts yet, will we? We don't get those yet.
No, we don't have them yet. And it'll be interesting to see when R21 comes. It appears to me from what they're saying here, all these experience points... Yeah, so we've got a million or so experience points, as you have. You pull up your little character picture. Okay, they're all in the bank. You have no skills right now, but you have a million points in the bank. Just get out in the world and start doing things. And you'll find that because the pool in the bank is so big, there's so much pressure to load into skills, you'll find they happen really, really quickly.
Do the skills in your pool decay?
Oh, no, the points, the experience points in your pool don't decay.
That's good.
As I understand it. So if...
I'm reading that the same way. Because that wouldn't make any sense. Why would that make sense? If the points in your pool decay, then it's robbing you of the experience that you accumulated this new system.
Well, then you're getting robbed of the skills that are decaying. But is those points you're getting robbed going back into your pool, or are they going away?
They're going away. You're
yeah.
By then adventuring and using those skills, whether it's mining or fighting with your sword, full arm, archery, magic, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's how I understand it. If you start release 21 with 1,000,000 experience points in the bank, all you have to do is go out and wave a sword 3 times, and you'll probably find you've advanced more than a few levels, because there's so much pressure upstream, and cast a few spells and whatever, and boy, the advancement is going to be so quick. Once you get to those levels, you know, once you've emptied your bank, then yeah, that's your level. Just earn some more points by adventuring, questing, whatever, and you'll go up some more. If you stay off the game for 2 months, you come back, you'll find you've lost 2 days worth of edge, and that's not a whole lot.
So how do they figure 2 days? You know, how do they figure 2 days? Some people are crazy that in 2 days they can earn, you know, 20, 30 levels.
I know.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I got a little bit. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah. The decay is only accumulated for around 2 days max loss. I don't know how much they're going to calculate for 2 days of decay. I don't think it's going to be worth very much.
2 weekdays or 2 weekend days, you know?
2 weekdays. Weekend.
That's a good point, LB, because in Lord British's interview this past Thursday on NBNN, you know, he said that, hold on, let me make sure I'm getting this right, that 2 weeks in the game is 1 Earth. So whatever that is, I suppose, if you put it into some type of formula, would equate to maybe some type of skill decay. So I would imagine, to Esclavius's point, probably not much if you're going by Earth time, which I would assume they're going to do, because how would you make up for an imaginary, you know, world decay time? You would use Earth time, because we are all quote unquote avatars in this world from Earth, right? So our skill decay would be less than an actual new Britannian's skill decay if they don't use any of the skills that they've trained in, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, the thing I worry about is 2 days. If they're talking about like after work days, you know, where I can only play 3 hours a day, or weekend days where I can play like 12, 15, 18 hours.
Yeah. I think they're talking about a day in real time, Earth Day, if you don't log in at all and don't use your character at all, there might be some minuscule delay or decay in your skills. But the take-home message I get, that even casual players can get a fair number of skills in the 80 range, which is a definition of master, and keep a few dozen at 60 plus. Right. And that's for a casual player.
Right. So to your point, Slavius, meaning that so if you're a casual player, you log in, and even if it's for 5 minutes, you swing your sword around, whatever it might be, mine, your pickaxe, what have you. That's enough. And
that's right.
You're probably going to see minimal decay. I read it the same way. I apologize. I read it the same way.
No. Don't apologize. That's what we're here for. Yeah. And the other take-home message I get is that the curve between 80 and 100 is so steep, and it's going to take so hard, so long, and so much to get there, that if you're at 100 and you don't log in for a week or two, then there might be minuscule delay, and it would be so difficult to keep a lot of skills at 100. It's just going to be so hard.
So you know why I love that, you guys? The reason why I love that is because it's reminiscent of a great book that I read and I thoroughly enjoyed called Outliers. And Outliers, I don't know if you guys have read it. It's a book that basically speaks to masters of industry, sports, entertainment. You know, when I was in business school, you know, they referenced this book and they used Madonna as the test case in the entertainment industry. But Outliers basically speaks to when you break down what it takes to become a true master, a true artisan of your craft, whatever it might be, whether, you know, they reference Kelly Slater, you know, the best surfer in the world, you know, Michael Jordan, best basketball player in the world, Madonna, obviously, entertainment, Gates, various people throughout industry, and they break it down. They show every one of these people spent pretty much the same amount of time mastering their craft. Didn't matter what it was just time in the game, quote unquote, no pun intended, folks. And I think that's really, you know, very apropos because it makes sense, right? The more we spend time mastering that skill set, the better we're going to become. And so here, it's the same dynamic. It's basically saying, look, if you, you know, like Coeur d'Alene, for example, you know, if you're in there swinging your two swords, you're going to be a master at, you know, dual wielding skill set, plate armor fighting, right? If you're Lord Baldrith, you know, casting magic and, you know, kicking ass from afar with my spells, you're going to be that guy. If you're Asclepius, you know, as a hybrid mage fighter, you know, character, it might be a little bit tougher. It might take you a little bit longer, but you can still get there. It's just going to take a little bit more time. And that's very real and immersive, in my opinion.
So the more you're focused, the faster you go and the easier it is to maintain.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. Focus on just a few skills and all of those adventuring and experience points are going to funnel down into those skills. And you can either be fairly good at everything or awesome at one or two things.
But don't you guys think that's what makes it so cool? Is because that's so much more realistic, because that's real life. I mean, if you focus on one thing, you're going to be like the best in the world at that one thing. If you diversify your skill set, yeah, sure, you'll be great at multiple things, but you may not ever be the best. And I think that's more like reality, because we only have so many hours in the day to focus on, you know, what we're doing, right?
That is absolutely like reality. Couldn't agree more. And you've just spoken a fundamental and a very profound truth. The more you do something, the better you get at it. And if you concentrate on one thing, yeah, you get pretty good at it. I mean, I jokingly tell people at work, I'm only good for one thing. And that's what it's all about.
Well, I'll say this. I wish I was really good at the one thing you do professionally, because it's a very admirable and awesome thing. Oh, my hat off to you, sir.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I do agree with that. I think anytime you specialize in a set number of skills, you should be more proficient at them than if you are a jack of all trades. I do agree with that, and I think that's an awesome way to do the system.
And not only that, it's providing variety and diversity in the game. People can experience this game and people can journey through New Britannia any way they want to. And there's no template, there's no rule saying this is the way you have to do it. You have four character classes and that's what you have to be. You can do it whichever way you want to. And in typical Richard Garriott style, there are about 15 different ways to skin a cat or peel an onion or invade this territory or to solve this puzzle or whatever. You can do it whichever way you like.
Yep. And that is an incredible thing. And that's what makes Shroud of the Avatar, in my opinion, so cool and so much fun. Because you want to be an alchemist, you can be an alchemist. But if you want to be a fighter alchemist, you can be a fighter alchemist. If you want to be a mage, sword mage warrior, you can be that. You want to be an archer farmer, you can be that too.
And that's sandbox. Exactly. That is so awesome.
And if you recall Lord Baldrith, we had Sean Silverfoot on, and he said he could name five people in Pax Lair who were never likely to raise a sword in the whole game. They just wanted to be crafters or whatever they're going to be, alchemists, traders, merchants. That's how they want to live this life. It's fantastic.
I love hearing that, guys. And I'm going to actually, now that I know that, I'm going to actually send Sean a forum email tomorrow. Because my girlfriend, she's like, well, you know, I don't really know if I want to do the whole, you know, fighting thing. You know, she's like, I really like the alchemy idea. I want to, like, make potions and learn how to make potions and, you know, decorate, you know, our houses and everything. And I'm like, absolutely, sweetie, that's what makes this game so much fun, is that literally the sky's the limit. I mean, right now we're a little limited because it's alpha, and we're heading into beta and then release, but you can do and be whatever you want. That's what makes this game so incredible.
Oh, absolutely. And if she gets out there and does a few things in the game, be it whatever they are, and accumulates all these experience points, and then channels those points into alchemy, people are going to be coming to her from all over.
And she might find that she enjoys alchemy, and she also enjoys, like, carpentry, because she can build furniture and decorate her house. She might enjoy that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, moving on. We have Hometown, the parade of homes and basements. As reported, they had many requests from community members to be able to view a home in games before purchasing, and that was a brilliant idea. Created Hometown Island using the new island player owned town template. Wonderful. They asked the community to help decorate. They got over 35 volunteers, which is awesome. Decorating 75 homes and 30 basements. Now that is just brilliant. And Dallas says, our most heartfelt thanks go out to all the volunteers of Project Decorate Hometown. Apologies if you left anybody off. But a lot of them, some completely new to the community, showed up spontaneously in-game. Now, that's just brilliant.
Very awesome.
And I think all of these deserve a shout-out. There's Alexander John, Andreas Whitefire, Asher Silvarian, Athanil, Cray Blackwood, Dr. Shred, Dr. Wiz, Drake Adius, Eclipse Maiden, Edward Newgate, Fionwen Wildmane, Galus Trajan, Grimace, Gurney, Harry Underworld, Jackknife, Jenny Phoenixfire, Justin, Casey, Cara Bray, Kazan Phoenixfire, Corvash, Leviathan Ailstorm, Malachus, Maynard, Maxine Treehawk, Minerva, Rebel Weasel, River, Cinderia Talilma, Striker Sparrowhawk, Themolock, Troll, Warmcat, Nadia, Wily Dan, Wind Silvermoon, and Winfield.
Yay, good job, guys.
And I think I tripped over a couple of names there, sorry, but what an awesome crowd. That was absolutely amazing. There is so much work in gathering materials and preparing and decorating. That's just brilliant. So, yes, they recommend you pay a visit to Hometown to see the amazing decorating job. And Winfield has created a very handy web page, displays the layout of all the homes and basements in Hometown. And at least one of the basements is flagged for open PvP. So there you go, you can live dangerously. And we have screenshots, which are absolutely lovely. They have done a brilliant job, haven't they?
Yeah.
They have done a very good job.
Wow. Beautiful homes there, beautiful neighborhoods, so well decorated with trees, fences, decorations, even a hedge maze. I wonder who was responsible for that.
That's a serious maze there, look at that.
I know. Incredible. But my favorite picture, guys, is the one just above it. That little bar with, like, the little, you know, the ivy, that's a hedgerow, actually. And the backyard and the pavers, I love it. That little bar.
Yeah, that's an awesome bar. Good job on that.
I know. Look, I was just wandering through Owl's Head the other day, and I found they'd set up a cafe just to the south of Owl's Head on your way out of town. They've got tables, chairs, menu, you know, the prices might be a little bit high, I'm not sure. But the service is great. You can stop there for a drink or a meal. This is just so close to real life, it's not funny.
Oh, I saw that too. I thought it was an awesome restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely brilliant.
You guys reminded me of Firenze. I mean, back when I was in Florence. I mean, looking at this picture, listening to what you guys are telling me, it's like I miss it. I mean, this is like greatest thing in the world. It's like mother's milk. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I know. I was jealous when you told us that you were off in Florence.
Yeah, you didn't hit Florence on your trip, did you?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, but you had a wonderful trip, but, you know, in your own right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was. It was just brilliant. Okay, and now for something even more exciting. Player-owned town's Snowy Mountain. Michael Hutchison has completed the Snowy Mountain's player-owned town template. It can be viewed in the submission form. Nice. And any new towns added in R21 that selected that will get it. But if we're already in the game, we're going to have to wait till the next wipe. Damn.
Oh, but...
Yeah, I don't know, I could cry, but at least we don't have to redecorate the town. I guess it's the only good thing.
Well, that's right.
That still sucks, though. I mean, I was really psyched about Wizard's Rest becoming a snowy biome, perfected, beautiful piece of community.
Hey, but at least we can wait a couple of months before we have to buy all our winter woolies.
That's true. We can be warm for a minute more.
Yeah. But doesn't that look beautiful? With that lake in the middle, island in the lake. I don't know if that's a river or a frozen river or just trees. Wow.
Doesn't that lake look frozen? Weren't we asking for frozen lakes? That might be frozen.
It might be frozen.
I'm hoping it's frozen.
Ice fishing, anybody?
And we could go out and cut a hole in the ice and drop a line.
That's what I want. Ice fishing. That's what I'm waiting for.
Oh, that would be so nice.
All they have to do is just slightly recode the outhouse, and then boom, you have an ice fishing house.
Now, what kind of fish are going to be in there?
I have no idea. Not that I would want to go out. But I'm just saying, it's an easy coding way to make it in-game very quickly.
Yeah. Oh, fun. But hey, that looks so nice. Wow.
And whoever's town gets that, I'm going to go visit. That is just so cool.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We'll definitely have to put that on the list of places to visit and see. And the exciting thing is, we'll be getting it eventually.
Now, are they going to put snow on our houses too? How's that going to work?
Oh, that'd be nice. You reckon? Well, we're going to have seasons.
Sorry, go ahead, Stavis.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, interrupt. We are going to have seasons and seasonal weather, so we might find that it really is knee-deep in snow in winter and not a lot in summer.
Well, I think that would be a lot of work, but it sure would be a nice touch if the houses and stuff changed with the weather.
I read on the forums... under the one that was talking about the snow biome coming out, that there will not, at least for now, that there will not be any snow on the houses initially. I mean, that might be something down the road, but for now, all the houses and everything and all property on the lots, I suppose, will be clear.
Okay. All right, then.
That's cool. We'll wait for them. That's a lot of work, I know.
Sure. Okay, but that's going to be exciting, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that. Okay, and then in the line of obsidian architecture is the tall obsidian stone fence.
Oh my gosh.
So, look, if you've got an obsidian tower that looks tall and dark and forbidding, why not have a fence to go with it?
Wow. That's awesome.
What am I going to do right now? What am I...
Uh-oh.
Oh my, I didn't even see this, guys.
You've been hanging around us too long.
Yeah, you have.
Oh my gosh. No, this is perfect. Asclepius, I can't tell you because I don't want to ruin it, but LB knows why I'm so excited about this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh great.
I'm buying it right now.
You've been around us for far too long.
Well, this is true. But I love you guys, so that's okay.
When there's new stuff, we always say we're in trouble.
That's for sure. Oh, look, that is the perfect compliment to an obsidian tower. And that just looks amazing.
I love this. I wonder if you get damaged trying to get over that fence. That's just awesome.
Or can you imagine somebody being impaled on that fence? You wake up in the morning and find half a dozen dead bodies hanging off your fence.
Man, imagine the blood all over the yard. That'd be something.
Well, look, just take the bodies inside, use them for experiments, and make a few extra things out of them.
That's right. I know some necromancers that might just love that.
Oh, yes. Yes.
My only complaint with the obsidian tower and some of the wands is, you know, so with my obsidian tower, I wanted to put all obsidian marble so I could just literally have, you know, fence to a fence, marble on my front patio. But
okay.
But it doesn't fit perfectly, right? So there is.
Oh yeah, you got caps. Yeah.
Exactly. Let us ask the gamers. Let the players overlap the pavers. So if we can overlap the pavers, we can then, you know, get rid of all the green space where we want to.
Yes, that's an excellent idea.
Yeah, I thought they were going to add that. Did they just not get around to it yet, or did they forget to do it on the pavers, or what's the deal?
I have rallied and cried about this in the dev chat for months, LB, and no one's ever responded to. I mean, a ton of, you know, players have commented and agreed and said yes, we want this and everything, blah blah blah. But I've never had any developer actually respond to me on that. And I would do anything just to be able to have a total obsidian front porch. I don't need the whole thing. I would love the whole thing. I mean, Lord knows I bought enough pavers because I thought, well, maybe if I do it all in small tiles instead of large tiles, I may be able to fit it all in. That didn't work. But having said that, that's fine. Fine with, you know, putting more money into the game. But can we please, please, please just overlap the tiles so I can have a front porch of all obsidian for my very ominous and foreboding obsidian tower of death?
Oh, I think that's a fair request.
Well, I have the same complaint about the fencing. I can't, on some of my fence, I literally can't get it to fit together. I have to leave like a stupid looking, you know, overlap. And so I would wish I'd do that with everything.
Yeah. Look, if we call out loud enough and long enough, they'll get around to it.
Yeah, I think the decor is still kind of up in the air because there's a lot of stuff. You can't put a lot of rugs down. There's just a lot of issues right now. I think they're still working on all that.
Yeah, that's right.
I completely agree. I mean, look, we all want our own little personal touches, and, you know, we put it up there and we express, you know, what we like. And, you know, I truly believe that they read it and they take it in consideration and they say, okay, well, this makes sense or this doesn't. And then on their own time, that they'll get it done. And, you know, that's the thing that I really appreciate. And, you know, to what I was saying earlier about, you know, Mr. Garrett and his responses and his, you know, continuous involvement with community, is that not just him, but the entire Portalarian team. I mean, their involvement and capability and ability to listen to our wants and needs and implement them in the game has been truly tremendous. I think it's wonderful. I really do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It is. And I'm with you. I mean, I've been muttering along quite a lot, because I want my boat to sail around the water. But I know that there are more important things and the fundamental basic game mechanics that need to come in. And I'm quite happy for that to come in episode 2 or whenever they can do it. But yeah, sure, I'll be delighted when my boat actually sails. And you're all invited to come on for a ride.
I can't wait. That'll be awesome.
So yeah. Is that before or after I decorate it? Because I would personally like to have fully decorated before we do that, my friend.
I think it'll be fully decorated before it happens.
Perfecto. Molte grazie.
Don't forget to nail everything down. Imagine the the rough waves.
Oh, yes. 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 If anything falls overboard, you'll have to replace it.
So I'm going to save my question for you, Asclepius, until you get to the airship, because it ties into that.
Oh, radio. Okay, fair enough. All right, moving right along. Time is running out. The 10% summer bonus and reward expirations are going to be finished in 10 days' time. So look, you've got 10 days left. If you want to support Shroud, upgrade your existing pledge, purchase a player in town, whatever. If you do it in the next 10 days, you get a 10% store credit for it, which is absolutely brilliant. Now, it applies to pledges and play around town purchases, upgrades, payment plans only. Doesn't apply to add-on, stretch goal, or make a difference purchases. And if you've got some store credit that's been hanging around for the last 6 months, I'm sorry, that doesn't apply either. But it is well worth knowing and doing, and it's all good for the game. So please, buy another pledge, or buy a town, or do something. We are $8,000+ away from the magic $7 million. So I'm sure somebody can do it. And additionally, milestones such as Alpha and Beta are looming. A few things are expiring as of August the 31st. So the Patron Pledge, Navigator Pledge, Developer Pledge are going. The Dark Star rewards for the various tiers, they're going. The signed physical goods, because Lord British has to have a definite number of how many thousand things he has to sign. Home and basement stacking, secondary lots for the Lord Pledge and above, and player owned towns with overland map access. Now, that doesn't affect any backers that already have these rewards. If you've got them, you get to keep them. Only affects new backers or existing backers that have upgraded after August the 31st. So there we are. Get in and be rewarded. Or don't get in and miss out.
Quick question for you guys.
Certainly.
I don't have a Dark Star, Moondial, or a Metronome, or a Cloak for that matter, but I am not a Founder. I am just a regular Lord Marshal Pledge. Does that mean that I won't get any of these, or will I get these? I'm not quite certain.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If you click on your account page, it should tell you if you have them.
Ah, thank you, LB.
Let's see, mine says Founder Pledge includes Dark Star rewards. So that's probably what it should say.
So, Cordelan, did you say you were or were not a Founder?
I am not. So it's only Founders.
Yeah. It looks as if... Yeah, it's Founders, yeah.
So you didn't have a chance to merge your pledge?
No, I didn't do any of that. That's okay. I mean, look.
You might still find, if you go to the marketplace, someone selling a Founder Adventurer pledge. If you could buy that off them and then merge it with your pledge becomes a Founder pledge. And you get all these cool rewards.
That's a good idea. I'm actually going to go do that right now.
But before you do it, hang on a second, I've got a feeling that the time for merging pledges has passed.
Is over.
Yeah, literally just a couple days ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so much work. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. Because it's so much work.
So long as I am still able to adventure and hang out with you lovely chaps, more than happy to forego my Metronome and Moondial, because being that we're neighbors in Wizard's Rest, I can just come over and enjoy y'all's Moondials.
Absolutely. You can come and use mine. Yep, For sure.
Yeah, it'll be out in the front yard if you ever need it.
Great. Okay. So, and now we have the airship. Whoa.
Airships.
Which looks pretty cool. Now, just an explanatory note here. When they explained the airship city, when they announced it, you may have noticed it was priced at a premium well above the average cost of homes in the add-on store. Yes, it is fairly expensive. As such, it wasn't intended to be included as one of the add-on storehouse selections on the player-owned town submission form. So, yeah, you've got a number of houses on the form there, I guess, Lord Baldrith, that you can select from. So it was brought to their attention that it was inadvertently included in the submission form, so they had it removed last weekend. It is only available through the add-on store. So apologies for any confusion. But if you would like an Airship City home, you need to visit the add-on store. And there it is in all its glory. Can't wait to see Darkstar lurking around the country in his...
Well, is Darkstar actually going to sail around the world?
Well, that seems to be the theory. I mean, as I said, he couldn't live in one place because, you know, chaos. So they thought, okay, let's give him an airship. And he's got a lovely dark one with the chaos symbol in the front. And they have included the rider. It doesn't move yet.
It does look very cool, I will say that.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, very much love them, but they still haven't told me if you get the house and the boat.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that could do with a bit of clarification.
Yep, so I will buy it in a moment.
What do you mean? You can't have a boat and the airship and a house?
Well, I'm calling the airship a boat, but the airship is on that lot with that big house, too. So do we get to have our house and the airship?
I thought they addressed that. I thought they said in the forums that you could have both. That you could, if you had a big enough lot, that it would fit on a city lot or a Lord of the Manor-sized lot like that in the picture. And you could have it side by side like.
Yes, quite possibly. And this is taking the negative side of it, I guess. If you had a Lord of the Manor-sized lot, yes, you could have a big house on one side and a airship on the other. The airship is a city-type house, so if you park that on a city lot, that might be all you can get. I don't know.
I see. Okay. Oh, yeah, it does say that. Airship city home.
Well, the main question I was asking is if I have both, do I get double the storage? If that's the case, then you've got my money. Hack rat here.
What you need to do, Lord Baldrith, is have the airship. And I know from experience that a two-level stone basement will fit in the hull of a boat. Don't ask me how, but it does. So you can have that. And then you could buy another basement and just put that on your lot. And just have a quiet little unobtrusive hatch somewhere on your property. So you've got a house and two basements.
See, that's where they got my money. So I'm waiting on the word there.
There you go. Look,
so my only negative criticism to this is that I feel like, at least in the pictures that we've seen so far, and maybe this will change, is that it sits rather low to the ground. I mean, I feel like an airship should be just a tad higher. I mean, not so high that, you know, a ladder wouldn't suffice for civilians to climb aboard, but I feel like this is rather low.
Yeah, they've got pretty short ropes on that, don't they? It would be nice if it was a little higher.
Yeah, fair enough. But, well, look, they're probably catering for the average age of the population who are playing Shroud. I mean, a lot of us are of mature years, and they can't expect us to climb up 300-foot ladders, you know.
Well, geez, well,
I'm
look
not
at
saying
that. Look at the
300 feet, Asclepius. Come on. But I have to say, make it more realistic to like an air balloon, right? An air balloon doesn't have
okay.
weight it occurs weighing you down to the ground. A hot air balloon does have ballast in sandbags like that. And then if we're talking about, you know, 18th century, beginning dawn age of flight, in quotations here, you would have a little bit of a ladder leading up to the small basket. I mean, they didn't start off on the ground like you have now because they didn't have the lift. They had to get the balloon and the basket up in the air. And then they added the passengers to determine, okay, how many people can we get into the balloon before it actually starts to sink? And then we realize, okay, then we have to lift that ballast. So these anchors that we see, you know, reaching the ground, I mean, that's just ridiculous. Get rid of those. Keep the ballast on the side, raise it up about 10 feet, and I think it would look a lot better. In my opinion, gentlemen.
Okay. That's fair enough. All right, but that is an awesome sight. It'll be fascinating to see how many of them appear in the game.
Oh, there'll be a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I'm curious on that myself. How rare are they going to be? It's a pretty high price tag.
Yeah, it is.
So this ties into my question to you guys earlier. So would you guys, talking about using the airship or just your boat, right, using it to travel throughout Novia and the Hidden Vale, would you like to see that kind of in the capacity that we have now where, okay, you know, I'm in my boat, now I'm navigating across the sea, you know, using my mouse pad and or keyboard, joystick, what have you, or, you know, getting into your boat or airship and saying, okay, I'm in an airship, I can go anywhere in the world and just get in my airship and say, okay, I'm clicking on Arteris or Brittany or Port Phoenix or Wizard's Rest and just automatically go there. But if I'm in a boat, I can only go to ports of call, obviously, that are open to the sea.
Yeah, I would love to see it happening more in real time, like on an overland map situation or something like that, where you physically see your little boat, airship, whatever, moving over the water, land, da-da-da-da. And maybe if you're drawn into a battle situation, that's like being drawn into an instance. That's what I would love to see, I think.
I agree. I want to see it to where it's kind of like UO was. You can sail your ship to some random spot on the ocean and find some deep sea fishing, maybe find a sea serpent, and maybe your ship is eventually going to have some guns on it. I think that'd be awesome.
See, I agree. I totally want that to happen because in the Ultimate games, as we all know, that's what they used to have, and I loved all those like random sea battles. Like, just because I remember being a kid, right, and being so excited to finally get a ship and then getting out to sea and fighting, like, oh, it's a giant squid or it's a sea serpent.
Yes, I remember that. That's awesome. It was great fun. Look, I think given time, they will do something like that for us, and that'll be lovely.
Yeah, I have a feeling that'll all come in by episode 2 or 3. That'll be awesome.
Okay. All right, in-game weekend community events. As we have every week, a huge list of amazing things. We'll just run through them quickly. We've got the daily wartime PvP event. Release 20 deco contests, shops and markets, and some of those are looking just brilliant. Gladiator Wars, Nervian Academy, New Citizen Help, and the Philosophy of Order. The Phoenix Republic Weekly Correspondence Dinner. The R20 Unreliable Travel Guide. The Tavern Respite Happy Hour Wednesdays. Vengeance Madness on Fridays at 7. The Daily Breakfast Club at various times. Phoenix Republic Military Drills Control Point. There you go. They're sending a weekly foray into the control points. Nice, to train their combatants. That'll be fun. And the challenge. Wow. Challenge Dungeon Run. Great. Saturday, Paxley Working Hours at 9. 11, Church of the Dark Star Saturday Service. 12 o'clock, 4B Maze Riddle, The Hidden Truth. Lovely. 12 o'clock, the Crafting Fair. 2 o'clock, archaeology event, and General Assembly at 6, Scholars at Navier Book Fair at 6, and a Vengeance 1 versus 1 tournament at 8, and a CST astronomy event at 9 o'clock. Fantastic. And on Sunday, we have Exploring Novia, a PaxLab meeting at 8.30, Phoenix Republic Town Hall at 11, Gust Ball at 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, BMC Gridiron registration, and 5.30 to Gridiron, 7 o'clock, a PaxLab meeting, and 8 o'clock, Fishing with Winfield. And we will be actually fishing one of these releases.
Getting close.
Yeah, I reckon. Okay, upcoming events right through to release 23 in October, and then we've got the fourth quarter, and Alpha must be getting closer. So that's amazing. Okay, and finally, a recommended game to back, we have Project Gorgon, pursuing the more open world and sandbox style that I think is underserved to gamers. That's a quote from Richard Garriott. Nice. It's a new MMO brought by Eric Heimberg and his wife Sandra Powers. They've got over a decade in engineering design and production, such as Asheron's Call 1 and 2, Star Trek Online, EverQuest 2, and other successful MMOs. It features an immersive experience that allows the player to forge their own path through exploration and discovery. The game also features an ambitious skill-based leveling system that bucks the current trend of predetermined classes, thus allowing the player to combine skills in order to create a truly unique playing experience. So this is the final week for their Kickstarter. They've almost tripled their funding goal, which is awesome, but could use help reaching stretch goals. So check out their campaign, and if you like what you see, then give them a hand. And guess what? That's the news of the week.
Very awesome.
Very, very awesome. Very excited about all this.
Lots of awesome news. Yes. And release 21 next week.
It is indeed. Well, looking forward to that.
And guys, can I just say one last time? Dragons!
Yay!
Artist Glavius, I want you to do that next time we all go adventuring. Or actually, rather, the first time the three of us go adventuring and we fight dragon or the...
Okay, you're on.
He's actually played a dragon before, don't forget.
That might be my death rattle.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, look, it's been a wonderful chat. And thank you, guys. Thank you, Coeur d'Alene, for joining us. That's been absolutely awesome having you.
Yeah, great talking to you, Coeur d'Alene.
All that remains, I guess.
Very much.
Ah, pleasure. All that remains is to get back into the game and have an absolute ball.
Yeah, we got another couple days to build our experience pool, so we gotta get busy.
Absolutely. Brilliant.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen, for having me back on.
That is a pleasure. And happy and safe travels to you and everybody in Shroud.
I guess I'll take us out. The awesome background music you're hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teagle for the technical work on the newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcasts, music, and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith and...
Asclepius.
And...
Lord Lane Valcaris.
With Echoes from the Caverns.